Blog Talk Radio.
Well, shalom, shalom again, and welcome to another Hebraic Journey through the Bible broadcast. My name is John Wesley, and for the next 30 minutes, I will be one of your co-hosts. I am a Messianic pastor or Messianic rabbi, and our quest here is to unravel the Hebraic truths hidden deep within the New Testament scriptures of our faith. Now, these Hebraic truths are designed to answer the perplexing questions that tend to hinder our spiritual relationship with our Heavenly Father and with Yahushua, Jesus the Christ, our Savior, and for some of us on this call, or on this radio show, our Bridegroom. So, right now, at this time, I would like to introduce the other half of the co-host, and that is Evangelist Tanita Jones.
Shalom, and thank you, Rabbi. I just want to
welcome.
Say it's a blessing to be a part of sharing the truth of the Word of God. Just so that you all know, we're continuing to answer the question on what does it mean that the love of many grows cold. This is our 67th show, and I just thank you, and I hand the show right back over to you, Rabbi Jones.
Oh, thank you. And Father, we hand the show over to you and thank you for coming in and allowing us the opportunity to be used as vessels of honor, vessels that you desire to speak through and speak to not only ourselves, but to each and every person on this radio spot, on this podcast, if you will. Father, we ask that you begin to speak to the heart of hearts and deal with the issues and the strong men in all of our hearts so that you alone can rule and reign in us and through us and with us. Enrich our relationship so that we will have no other God but you. We ask forgiveness for sin, iniquity, and transgression, and we choose to forgive those who have sinned against us. Father, we also thank you for forgiving our forefathers on both sides of our families.
Yes.
We desire you, Holy Spirit, to come in and begin to be the teacher and comfort and guide and correct and encourage and in areas that we need to reprimand. Because we know that when you do it, not only deal with the issues in our lives, but you help to mend and structure our lives so that we become blessed and not cursed. So we desire that right now. In Yahushua's name, amen. So at this time, we're going to pass it back over to Evangelist Tanita. She's going to wrap us up, give us kind of a summation of what we've talked about last week, and then we're going to jump right into the rest of this lesson right after that.
Yes. Thank you again, Rabbi. And so as for those that listened last week, Rabbi was continuing to go into another viewpoint of what does it mean that the love of many have grown cold. And here what he was saying is he's going to reveal what he believes is the most diabolical strategy of the enemy. We are flesh, and we need to discipline ourselves for the attacks. The point is when we are most vulnerable, the enemy launches his attacks. And this is what the enemy did to Yahushua in Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. The adversary launches his attack only at Yeshua's most vulnerable point, his weakest point. When we get to our weakest point, that is when Satan doesn't create anything new. And one of the examples you gave us, Rabbi, was John the Baptist. Even though John the Baptist understood this theological principle, he still didn't trust what he knew to be right. When he was in prison, that is when he was about to be beheaded, and he allowed doubt to come in. So right here, we assume that Yahushua, or people assume that Yahushua was a disciple of John because John was baptized by Yahushua. But we were reading John chapter 3, verses 25 through 30. But we're going to concentrate on verse 30. In John chapter 3, verse 30 is where the answer is found pertaining to where Yah moved on our behalf. John the Baptist made it very clear that he must increase, Yahushua must increase, and he must decrease at this point. At our lowest is when Yah steps in and becomes our greatest, our lowest point, before Yah can do his greatest work in us. Remember that Rabbi has always told us that when Satan steps in, he must pay seven times, Proverbs 6:30-31, taking him, Satan, back to the just judge. It is imperative when we are abased that Yah abounds. Satan's main goal is to steal, kill, and destroy at this point. Have you ever knew what Yah said, but that at that time doubt and unbelief comes and changes your viewpoint from faith to I'm not really sure? This hijacks your belief, faith, and faith, which causes the manifestations to be put on pause. It is the violent that take it by force in the 11th hour. The violent fight and struggle their way through, overcome. Those that don't will flight. The word tells us to be ye angry and sin not. Muster up your fight. That will bring you into your blessing or just a few seconds from manifesting in the world. It is imperative that you understand and activate the flight, not the fight. I mean the fight, not the flight, excuse me. When we are at our lowest point is when the manifestation is about to take place. We have to know, understand that Yah is getting ready to do something. And then you were ending on Daniel chapter 7 about how the enemy is wearing out the saints. And you stated about changing the biblical calendar. And so I'll hand the show back over to you, Rabbi Jim.
Amen. And what we'll do is we'll jump right into Daniel chapter 7 and verse 25, I believe it is. And if you will read that as soon as you get there, it's imperative that we understand that. And I think I may have misheard what you said when you said that John the Baptist was Yeshua's disciple. And what we meant to say there was that Yeshua was John the Baptist's disciple, that most thought that Yeshua was John the Baptist's disciple because John baptized Yeshua. So it's imperative that we understand. That's okay. That's right. I just wanted to make sure I clear that for the recording and for those that are listening. But it's imperative that we begin to understand that because we are in flesh, that is the area, obviously, where the adversary has the upper hand. Because when we are in spirit, because we are of spirit as well, we are of spirit and we are of flesh. Well, when we're in the spirit of Yah, there's no competition. There's no match for the adversary. He doesn't even try because he knows that he will never win. He knows that the Ruach and the anointing of the Ruach destroys any diabolical plots that he would ever devise. But it's when we are in flesh, when we are in need, when this fleshly part of man needs and has desires, and I'm not saying desires that are sinful, I'm saying just basic, ordinary desires, like with Yeshua in Matthew chapter 4. He had fasted 40 days, and then it says he was hungered. At that point of hunger, at that point of flesh, is where Satan jumped in there to try to kill, steal, and destroy, and sabotage and derail the call, the chiastic structure, the very purpose for Yeshua's being here on the earth. He knew, he being Satan, knew why he was here. You can see he could not touch him until his flesh began to desire a need. So this is the same pattern for us that it is for him. So in Daniel chapter 7, verse 25, we want to begin to understand even the more how our power and the anointing is taken from us when we walk in flesh. What are some points that we need to watch out for that will cause us to walk in flesh? Because at that point, we are vulnerable. At that point, we are more than susceptible. We lose before we ever get started in any type of battle against the adversary. Daniel chapter 7.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Daniel chapter 7, verse 25, and I'm reading the New King James Version. He shall speak pompous words against the Most High, shall persecute the saints of the Most High, and shall intend to change times and law. Then the saints shall be given into his hand for a time and time and half a time.
Now, it's interesting, in your translation, it says the word then, T-H-E-N, then. When is then? Then is when we get off the relational calendar of spending time with Yah. Because when we miss that actual calendar of time, that actual appointment, is when we lose the anointing. It's when the glory or the spirit of man begins to wane, just like the phases of the moon. It begins to wane. Instead of increasing, it begins to decrease. Okay, now I'm talking about our spirit man begins to decrease. Now, when our spirit man begins to decrease, then our fleshly man is increasing. Our fleshly man is increasing. As our fleshly man increases, our ability to ward off and to fight and to be able to withstand and overcome the adversary is taken away from us. We lose that ability. That ability comes with presence of Yah, with being with Him, with tabernacling with Him. Not just every day, because, I mean, we know in Numbers chapter 28, and we've talked about this, but in Numbers chapter 28, I want to say 1 through about 11, you know, it talks about the daily, weekly, and even the monthly appointed times. Those daily, weekly, and monthly appointed times are referenced and are a part of what is discussed in Daniel chapter 7, verse 25. So what we're seeing here is more than just what some people would say, the Torah, but yet we're not taken away from the Torah, but it's the Torah is there so that we can have relationship, intimacy with Yah. That intimacy brings anointing, brings relationship, brings the mantle, increases the spirit man, which decreases the ability of the adversary to do anything to you or to your loved one as you are covering them. This is an important concept. It's because this is a, like I said before, this is the diabolical principle that the adversary doesn't want you to understand. Number one, when your flesh is put under subjection, then that allows for your spirit man to begin to increase and grow and mature and to be all that within you it's supposed to be. As that's happening, the adversary has no chance. That's why in Mark chapter 4, verse 13, when it's talking about the sower sowing the seed, all right, it says that the enemy comes immediately. Why immediately? The reason why immediately is because if the enemy doesn't quickly try to usurp the anointing of that word that was given to you, or the seed that was given to you, then that seed will germinate through your faith and through your obedience, and then the glory of Yah will cover you, and there will be no chance for the adversary at that point at all. That's why he comes in quickly. That's why he comes as you're starting to be abased. He comes in to try to get you to go past the abasement to, you know, to self-abasement. In other words, from an area of submitting yourself to Yah and just allowing yourself to be crucified with Him daily as we ought to, which is also what's talked about in Numbers chapter 28, what happens is the adversary says, let's continue the abasement. Let's pollute and pervert this act that this individual is doing so that it will taint the relationship, and so Yah will have to turn his back on his people until they clean up their act. But by then, the adversary has an opportunity, he has a chance to strike and to try to kill, steal, and destroy everything pertaining to you and I. That's why this is diabolical, because as you're doing the right thing by crucifying yourself daily, Satan comes in at that point before Yah has the opportunity to begin to be to step in and be strong in your life. Satan tries to come in and tries to taint that, tries to pollute it, tries to make what is holy unholy. That's what this is about. That's why regain something that we lost. Because Satan wants to keep that which is holy and set apart for him, for Yah. He wants to continue to try to get us to use it and to taint it so that it's never in a position at the right time, the appointed times, the Moedim, to be able to really just be a blessing to Yah. Because Yah looks for and wants daily that blessing. He blesses us so that we can bless others, but mainly so that we can bless him. Our soul was created to bless him. Thus, the psalmist says, bless the Lord, bless Yahuwah, bless Yah, he is within me. Bless or hollow or proclaim, and not just verbally proclaim, but live what you're proclaiming so that it becomes holy. The adversary is the one that will say, hey, you go ahead and proclaim, but I'm going to make you unholy because I'm going to cause you to step in an area or not do something you should do or do something that you shouldn't do, which will defile you. And in defiling you, then your offering to a degree will have to be rejected. And in you being rejected, I am, Satan speaking here, I am the one that gets your stuff. No different than what I did with Adam, cool of the garden. When they ate of the fruit, they lost more than just their the glory that covered them because they were, you know, unclothed. They lost more than just that. They lost everything. They lost all of the authority. That whole mantle, boom, goes to the adversary. So it's imperative for us in this to understand the diabolical deeds of the enemy so that we will make sure that we are not empowering him anymore, that we are not allowing him to have the anointing that rightfully belongs to us and the authority on this earth that rightfully belongs to us. These are the things that are extremely, extremely important. He understands and he knows his time is short. He is doing all that he can to unleash a massive attack in every area, in our mind, in our will, and in our emotions to try to get us off balance, to try to get us to mess up, to submit ourselves to those things that are not holy and not pure and not right before Yah. And once that happens, then there's very little else that Satan has to do because our relationship and our disconnect from Yah will do most of it for him. Because we've polluted ourselves, we won't be able to go into the Holy of Holies. And see, these are the types of things that are important for us to understand, important for us to know so that we can apply what is right as to that which is wrong, that which is diabolical. So, Evangelist Needy, did you have anything you want to share pertaining to what we've talked about so far before we go any further? Just giving you an opportunity.
Well,
what you may have.
Yes. What I really love is how it's important that a lot of us do want to be in the Holy of Holies. A lot of us want to have that relationship like Adam and Eve, but you're giving us key of how do we obtain it. Well, we obtain it by meeting him, like you said, on his times, not just daily, but there's a specific time, monthly, weekly, on his yearly feast that we're to meet him.
Mm-hmm.
And this will help us in an area of intimacy, but we also need to understand, which I love how you're explaining, that our Savior experienced all of this. That sometimes we've been taught that we think that he was God, but that he actually didn't have to deal with the manifestations of the flesh like we did, which in actuality mm-hmm. you're showing us he did come. And he's given us the answer on how to overcome. He dealt with every fleshly thing that we have to deal with, but we have to be willing to do what he did, and that was to die to ourselves, to get before him. He met the Father in his times. He would speak what the Father told him to speak, and he would see what the Father showed him to see. And I love it because you're showing us how the enemy's tactics are not old. They're the same. The same way he attacked our Savior, our bridegroom, is the same way he's doing to us, but we have to be willing to submit and commit to the understanding and then allow our will to die to do Yah's will daily.
Amen. Amen. And that is true. That is what it's about. It's imperative that we understand that the love, you know, that affection, and it's more than just the love and affection, but the affection because, in other words, I love you, therefore I do, you know, as opposed to I do hoping that you approve of it so that I can earn your love. No, the love was earned on the cross. He showed his ultimate love by dying for us and taking our place in prison spiritually. So with that being done, you know, once that fullness is over, then, you know, we have the opportunity to really rejoice with him with every aspect of every bad element that had to go to the dark side, had to go to the dark place, had to be cast out of the presence of Yah. And so we are desiring to allow you to hear and understand and begin to apply some of these principles and see what Yah is going to do and what he wants to do in our particular lives. It's key. That is so, so, so important. It just really, really is. I know that, Evangeline, we had talked about the love of many, and we went over a lot of different attributes and characteristics of the individual. We went over the mind and we went over the will. To a degree, we've talked about the emotions. And one of the things that I want to say about this particular aspect is the emotions are tied and connected and seated in the physical body. So there's a like a thin membrane in the natural that is talked about dealing with medicine different aspects of what happens to a person's brain functions. And whether or not they consciously can hear you or understand anything that is being said. Well, in the spiritual, we have to understand and know that Yeshua is seeing this thing very spiritually. Not that we don't have a physical body like he did, we do. But he's seeing it very spiritual. You know, he did not try to, according to Matthew, he did not try to fight or anything like that. With natural men, because he knew that spiritually he already had this kingdom. And we need to understand that in our fight and flight so that we don't find ourselves being caught up into frivolous scenarios that cause us to just become a mockery of what people see. We need to make sure that we are so in tune with Yah that it's Yah speaking to us, talking to us, telling us exactly what to do and exactly how to deal with individuals, situations, and circumstances. I want to make sure that that is clear before we begin to conclude this particular question. The emotions, the seat of emotions, is where we most fail. That's where we most of the time get hoodwinked or suckered into a situation to where now, you know, we have this big balloon of circumstances that try to come over us because we are not prepared to deal with the emotional side of things. A disciple of a Roman centurion that Yeshua was talking about and talking to, you notice that Yeshua was very clear when he said, there is no one around here in Israel that has the kind of faith that this man has. Now, that centurion could barely deal with certain aspects of Hebrew and the customs and respecting the customs. But he had a regimental attitude of discipline, so much so that where when he would say something, that was understood. It was understood that when he told his soldiers to do something, that they would, in effect, follow his commands and his orders. We as disciples have to be so pliable to where when Yahushua tells us something or references something to us, that we act and conduct ourselves in the exact same manner as this military man. He had seared his emotions. His emotions, not that he wasn't emotional or didn't have emotions. No, that wasn't the case. What the case was, his emotions were disciplined. They were seasoned. They were mature. And they knew that they don't go in front of his mind or his will. His emotions knew that they only were to be activated when his mind and will deemed it necessary. And I'm going to say that again. The emotions were so trained that only when it was deemed necessary by both the mind and the will of the individual does the emotions then play out. Does it, you know, begin to act out or do whatever it does? We need to understand that we must discipline our emotions. And in doing so, we then cause ourselves to be placed into a position where the adversary hates us the most because we know how to activate our faith at its highest level without any hesitation. And with that, the fight will always manifest and not the flight. There will never be a situation where you'll be in fear and torment and begin to run and seek and hide. Proverbs talks about the fact that with a righteous person, when fear comes knocking at the door, or a sudden fearful thing happens, the righteous are not moved. They're not shaken up. In other words, their emotions doesn't jump out there and they get all excited about that. We have to train our emotions. Part of that dying daily, part of that taking up our cross is training and disciplining our emotions so that they don't ever get out of sorts. Now, with that being said, Evangelist Anita, I want you to give more information to these wonderful viewers as to those that would like to give an offering or those who are interested in Zuul College or whatever the things that we have available, newsletters and things of that nature.
Yes. And so many of you know that the show is held Thursdays at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. If you have questions that you would like to be addressed on the show, if you could email us at office@bethesham.org. The ministry is Bethesham Ministries. We have two websites in which you can research information on. And the first one is www.bethesham.org. And the second one is our Facebook page, which is www.facebook.com/Bethesham Ministries. Rabbi also mentioned about our newsletter. If you go to our website, you can submit your information and you will be added to our newsletter that we send out every Wednesday. If you would like to attend our services, if you would email us at bethesham@yahoo.com for directions. And for those that may want to have a more in-depth study or more Hebraic understanding, we have classes that are offered through Zuul College. And also, if you could email us at office@bethesham.org. For those that the Spirit may be moving upon as far as donations, you, if you feel led by the Spirit to be a part of this ministry, if you'll just go to the website in partnership with us at www.bethesham.org. And I'll hand the show back over to you, Rabbi Jimmy.
Amen. Father, we thank you. We thank you for helping us to understand more how our mind, will, and our emotions play an integral part in the love of many growing cold. Father, help us to understand these rich nuggets and to really begin to apply the adverse to the negative that we've shared, so that we will always find ourselves in the blessing category and never in the cursing category. Father, we thank you for this broadcast. We thank you for the words that were spoken. We ask that it just hit the bullseye and really begin to prompt individuals to really begin to search their hearts and desire the holy and pure and righteous anointed choices that you've given to us. We give you the praise and the honor in Yahushua's name. In your name we pray. Shalom, shalom. Amen.